that has fed my soul. Before my coming up on this platform, that was phenomenal. Wow. Monique, that was truly extraordinary. And your interpretation that you put together of that prayer is just striking. I definitely would like a copy of that. I think that that should be something that is in the heart and the mind of everybody. It just really, really acknowledges like who we are and whose we are in a cosmic way, in a heavenly way, in a beyond the earth way, and it was just wonderful. And I want to acknowledge, Linda, I want to acknowledge you for the reading of the Daily Word about compassion. It just was really all about what I have had revealed to me is my only function, really, for being born and for being alive, is to just be a compassionate force on this planet and just to give. I've said before, I just remind myself when I'm going to the grocery store that I'm really not going for food, and I'm not really going to the gas station for gasoline. I'm not really going to the tax office to pay my house taxes. I'm going everywhere I go to be the light of the world, to forward that, to uplift, to extend the love of God, like to be the living, breathing expression and the proof that God is alive. And that was really not only beautifully written, but beautifully given to us. And I want to thank you, Brother Lewis. I want to thank you for how you brought us into this service. I thought that that was remarkable. I knew that when I got on the road with Timothy this morning, that it was my desire to be fed. I knew that I was getting paid to feed, but I also was coming with the desire to be fed. So I just want everybody to know before I say a word that my soul has been richly fed. And I'm just so, so grateful. I'm also really grateful for the spiritual leader of this community. I'm so grateful for my brother Britt. And I have deep compassion for him today. And my heart is holding him today. He is just discovering an experience. He's living an experience that I lived some years ago. It's an experience that you have lived also, Monique. And I know it's an experience that many of us have experienced, which is when your mama takes her last breath, it's a big deal. She has not only made transition, but we are in transition. And so I extend all love and all blessings to him. And when you get home, could you give him a hug for me? And could you tell him for me to take it from me? Don't do something that I have done far too many times before, which is when there is the physical loss of a loved one and a family member, there's this one part of me as a minister that feels like I've just got to keep on ticking. I've just got to keep on going. I've got to get to that choir rehearsal because I don't want to let the choir down. I've got to be at that meeting. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've just got to go on. At one point, I thought that that going on would give other people the evidence that God was completely my only thing that I depended upon. Oh, look at Carlos. His dad died. Look at him still running. His sister died. His brother died. His father died. His partner died. Look at him just keep running. And I got to tell you, I don't want Britt to do that because it never worked for me. It wasn't until recently in my life that I realized that we have to honor major transitions that happen in our lives. When a marriage dissolves, we can't just keep on going on and going on as though nothing happened. Something happened. I know that in many spiritual arenas that they want us to respond to every apparent loss. They want us to respond to every situation by quickly giving a unity statement about it. Nothing is lost in spirit. I got to tell you, it wounded me. It wounded me deeply when some of my loved ones, some of my family members took their last breath, and I got overwhelmed with phone calls that basically said nothing more than, nothing's lost in spirit, nothing's lost in spirit. I thought that they should have given me a few months before they reminded me of that. Because I want us to know that we must embrace the whole selves that we are. We must embrace our humanness as well as our divinity. It's an important part, the human experience. if it were not important, it would not be set up that we would come into this reality to experience a human experience. And loving yourself and embracing yourself, I believe, means loving and embracing all of the pictures and all of the parts of who we are. It would be foolish of me to try to pretend that all of my moments of life have been joyful, and all of my moments have been moments in which I was skipping through the tulips, completely aware on a deep level that our affirmation for this morning is true. This is also my favorite affirmation, that there is only one power and there is only one presence in the universe and in my life, and that is God, and God is good. I remember that more and more and more and more often. I've got to tell you that through the ups and downs and ins and outs of life, through some of my times of feeling knocked completely down on the ground and struggling to get back up, I have discovered that it is true that the power that is within me is greater than anything that I will encounter in the world. But sometimes it takes me a while to get that. In the moment of devastation, I suggest being devastated. In a moment of confusion, I advise be confused. In a moment of loneliness, I say experience the loneliness. In a day of upset, experience that upset. What we do in spiritual arenas is these are the things that we try to push down and not reveal. That's why it's very often that I have people in congregations put up their left hand if they've ever been devastated, if they've ever been through the dark night of the soul, if they've ever felt like they weren't going to be able to make it through the night, if they've ever been lost or lonely or afraid or angry, spitting bullets angry. People don't want to reveal that stuff, so I bring it up often and have us just say, yeah, I have experienced the entire gamut of what is possible for human beings to experience, and that's nothing I should be ashamed of. I think of my life and your life as being a bubble inside of a bubble. The bubble, the first smallest bubble, is the bubble of our human experience, where it does feel sometimes that loss is real. It feels sometimes like disappointing events can happen. It feels sometimes like we are lost and lonely, afraid. I think we need to embrace that little bubble, but at the same time, seek to remember to the best of our ability that that bubble is inside of a bigger bubble. And the bigger bubble is what we affirm and acknowledge and deepen here at Unity of New York each time we gather, whether it's on a Sunday morning or whether it's throughout the week in classes or experiences that are offered. These are not to get us to deny the fact that we are in a human bubble. They are simply to remind us that given the fact that we are in a human bubble, that's not all of who we are. There is a greater piece of who we are. It's the larger bubble that knows there is only one power and there is only one presence in the universe and in my life, and that's God the good. If something happens that rocks me in my world and I begin to get rocked and I want to catch myself because I want to be a good spiritual student, I want to be a good practitioner of the principles, I want to be a good new age, new thought person, I want to keep this stuff so I don't want to acknowledge that I've been knocked off, and I want to shove it down, and I want to put on a happy face, and I want to widen my eyes so that nobody knows I've been crying, and I want to present myself as though nothing is happening, then what really is happening, getting shoved deep down, is creating an experience of manifest dis-ease. I'm not at ease with what is happening in my human experience. Once I become at ease with the human dynamic, knowing that it is not the ultimate dynamic, but that human bubble is inside of a greater bubble, and that bubble is spirit, and nothing can separate me from that spirit, regardless of what the experience seems like. I've noticed that I can go through sadness. If I just embrace it, it doesn't last very long. Those feelings come up to be felt. They just want to be acknowledged. They don't want to be told by me that you don't belong to me. You're not good enough for me. I can't handle you. They want me to hug them like a little child because most of those feelings have come from my little child. To be a little child inside of Carlos saying, could you give me a hug? I feel lonely. Could you give me a hug? I'm really confused. Can you give me a hug? I don't seem to have faith in things getting any better or overcoming my issues. Could you just give me a hug? And I say, you're not my child. You don't belong to me. No, I'm beyond all that. They're just going to wait for a hug, and then they're going to throw a tantrum. And that tantrum that they throw is going to create an experience of dis-ease, not only in my mind, it will manifest itself in my body, in my relationships, in everything that I am. We are composite beings. We are divine and we are human. There are so many spiritual paths that would like us to deny our humanity. I was in one for a while, and after a while I got, this is no fun. Denying a part of me, saying that's not who I am. I can say that's who I am, and I am something beyond who I think I am. I'm not only who I say I am, but I am who the Creator says I am. There's one thing that I've discovered in life, and I really am grateful to God for some of the hard knocks that have come my way in life. I'm really grateful to God that I was born into a manifest system on planet Earth where I was on the low end of the playing field, the low end of the field of equality. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I was a different kind of guy so that all the other little boys in the neighborhood would say to me, well, you're kind of like a guy, but then this other part of you, it's kind of like not like a guy. And you should probably butch it up a bit, try to be even more like a guy. And I would go, I'm kind of glad being in the middle, kind of glad being who I am. And they said, yeah, but people will talk about you. And I was like, let them talk. But people might not want to hang around you. Let them not hang around me. One thing that I knew is if the world wasn't embracing me, this is one thing that people on the lower end of the playing field get. We get to go, I can't count on the world. The world is not embracing me as I would like it to. It's not embracing me as I see it embracing others. And then you get, if you can't count on the world, you have to find another place to get what you need to count on from. And that drives us home into an inner place. For Carlos to find out, can you, bro, can you be the source of your joy? Can you be your reason for having zeal? Can you be your reason for skipping? Can you be your reason for running and jumping? Can you be the source of your happiness? I can remember being in grade school, and some of my teachers in grade school, they were just awful. And I realized later they were just doing the best they can. They really did believe that me and some of the students in class were not totally human, and therefore not totally worthy of what other children came to school to receive, which is the undivided attention of their teacher and the teacher's willingness to uplift them. There were times when I came home from school and had the experience of the opposite of being uplifted. It was an experience of being put down and cut down and reminded that you're not really on the inside of the welcome committee here. And I would go home and go, well, I can't get it from school and I can't get it from my teacher. Where can I get it? One thing I noticed that as I tried to get it from other people, they were busy trying to get it for themselves. It's like that guy that's at the pool for 38 years and he's just there for healing. And he is wanting someone to help him. And along comes Yeshua. Yeshua says to him, do you want to be healed? And he says, God, doesn't everybody want to be healed? Yes, I want to be healed. What are you doing about it? I'm getting myself here, but none of the other people will help me in. They can see that I can't get in by myself, but they're not even helping me in. What's up with them? We know what's up with them. Everybody's trying to get it for themselves. Everybody is trying to find their own healing. Everybody is trying to find their own deliverance. Everybody is trying to find their own salvation. Everybody is trying to find their own way out of self-imprisonment. So when I got that other people can't give it to me, and I knew that I wasn't qualified to give it to myself as myself, I had to go in and find out, is it true what I have been told in Sunday school? Is it true that greater is a power that is within me than anything I can encounter at school, in the neighborhood, in my family system, and on the playground? Is there something that I can be wrapped up in as an identity that will support me in being able to put one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, marching even through the valley of the shadow of so-called death? Is that in me? If it is, I want to learn to tap it. And I have been learning to tap it more and more effectively as the years goes by. And as the years go by, how I am able to tap into that power that is within me most effectively is that I am given a challenge. The challenges that come, these are not enemies. I don't see challenges as enemies anymore. I actually get excited when a new challenge presents itself, whereas I used to get rocked. My world used to get rocked. But now when a challenge comes, I always trust that nothing has ever been able to separate me from the love of God. I've been through some stuff, and so have you. And yet none of it has ever been able to separate you from the love of God. One of my father's favorite scriptures was that scripture that went on and on. It began with, I am persuaded, it says. I'm convinced. I am convinced that the crap will hit the wall as it always has. Some of us are praying for the crap to stop hitting the wall, and you're praying amiss because it will always hit the wall. Pray to be strong and prepared when it hits next time. Pray for the power to tap into the power so that you can stand fast in the liberty with which your Christ mind and your Christ power that indwells you has set you free. The challenges that have come and that continue to come, they are challenges that require of me to remember that I am more than just that first bubble. That I am that bubble experientially encased in a larger bubble where everything is one. I told you, I believe the last time I was here, that the beauty of going into the hospital and ending up going into cardiac arrest and flatlining for a while, the beauty of it, it has so many gifts that it has given me. And one of the gifts was that I got to experientially come into a moment of really being able to see clearly that all is one. I know that quantum physics has said that in the realm of the invisible, if you look into it deeply enough, you will see that there is no division between us and the source of life, nor is there any division between us and one another. That there's only one source, one extension of that source, which many people have said that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. The principles of quantum physics say that there is only one extension of God, and we are it. We appear to be separate from one another, but our work is to remember that that's not true. That we not only are alike one another, we are not only family, but that we are one self. I told you once before that some rock climbers chipped off some rocks from a mountain they had climbed on, and they brought the rocks back home, and they put them on their altar so that everybody could see the rocks that they got from Mount Shasta when they were on their spiritual quest. And the rocks talked to each other at night and said, why do they keep calling us rocks? what is up with that? They keep calling us rocks. They think we are rocks. When will they come to understand that you can chip us off of a mountain, but you can't stop us from being that mountain? And so even when it seems like you are disconnected from source, you're disconnected from that wider bubble, you got to remember that you're not a rock. You've got to remember that you are the mountain. And even though it appears sometimes, and sometimes it really does appear that we are separate from the love of God, but don't ever allow yourself to be convinced that this is the truth. It can never be the truth. It's like a wave. Wondering why we are not, why are they calling me a wave? I'm the ocean. I'm the ocean. I'm an aspect of the ocean. So why do they keep calling us people? One of the psalms that Jesus reminded the people around him of, not a psalm he wrote, a psalm written 1,000 or 2,000 years before his incarnation. He says, is it not written in your own psalms that ye are gods and each of you children of the Most High? Basically, he's saying, don't ever be convinced you're a rock. You will always be a mountain. Don't let anybody convince you that you're a solitary wave. That's the little bubble. The big bubble part of you is that you are the ocean. We are blessed beyond measure. I got to be in a place where I wasn't seeing with my eyes. I wasn't seeing forms. I wasn't like seeing my mom and seeing my dad, and seeing my sisters or seeing angels. I was in a field where waves of knowing kept washing over me. All I saw was light. And it wasn't one big light. It was a light that was filled with lights. And all of the lights were different colors, but they weren't separate. They were one light. And waves of knowing came over me. And it was the knowing that in the incarnational experience, we are pretending separation that can never really occur. There can be no separation. In the realm that I went to, all is one, always has been one, is one now, and always will be one. And I knew that all of us were contained in that. I was receiving waves of knowing that to get a physical reality to be constructed, you had to use music. That music was a big part of the means by which physical reality was constructed, music and mathematics. One wave came over me and I went, oh my God, that wave just proved what quantum physics has talked about, is that everything is just a potential, a wave of potential, until one of us looks at it with an expectation. And then the wave of potential becomes a fixed thing and makes its way into manifest reality by the expectation or the belief or the desire of the observer. Atoms group together. They collect together. They change. They move, always moving. So one of my waves was like, it was like a clear knowing. It was just one among countless. But it was like, how do you change water into wine? You observe that everything is in its anatomical structure, that there is no such thing as physicalized things. They appear physicalized for a while, but they are atoms. Someone looks at them with an expectation, knowing the anatomical breakdown of what water is. What is it? It's two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. And everybody knows that. But what I didn't know until this wave of knowing came over to me is that if any observer observes with faith the atoms of two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen, if that person observing it chooses to think and expect and believe that he wants to change these atoms and configure them mathematically so that they produce wine, he's got to add two atoms of carbon and four more atoms of hydrogen. And he will end up with C2H6O. And because the observer, the child of God, is the creator, the atoms collect. So four more atoms of hydrogen are added, and two atoms of carbon are added. And boom, there you go. There's wine. No big deal. Whoopee-dink. Anybody can do it. It's the way the universe works. So it's understanding and knowing and then activating our faith in the all things are possible process. It's just activating our faith. I went to a Pentecostal church when I was very young. There were many things that I could critique about some of the teachings of that, but there's of that system. But there's one thing that I have to tell you about that system. It was a system in which almost everything except going to church and reading the Bible was a sin. You couldn't read magazines. You couldn't go to the movies. You couldn't go roller skating. These things changed over the years, but I'm telling you the way it was when I landed in it in 1951. There were all these things that were a sin, and watching television and doing this. And what happened was that they taught the people that the only thing you really can do is increase your faith. Come to church, read the Bible, increase your faith. Come to church, read the Bible, increase your faith. Taught it from kids all the way up. And so even though there were a lot of dogma deals that I never was able to resonate with, I could not help but be blown away by how many physical manifest healings took place on the regular, on a regular basis. These people, through Jesus, they got, I don't know anything about atoms. I don't know how many atoms make up a healed arm and what needs to be changed to mend that arm. I don't know this stuff, but I believe Jesus knows quantum physics. I believe that he has the blueprint. I believe he knows how to organize things, stare at things with faith, and have them manifest. To him, it is no whoopee-dink. To me, it's impossible. But I believe that he is in charge of things I think impossible. God specializes in things we think impossible. So they simply called on him, and stuff happened. I've told you that my little sister, Crystal, who made her transition some years ago now, when she was a little baby, she was born premature, and she was born with intense asthma. And she was always going into convulsions, and her eyes would roll into the back of her head, and she would foam at her mouth. And we never thought that Crystal was going to make it through the night. The first weeks and months of her life, it's like, we don't know if she's going to make it. And I can remember one time standing next to my mom and the doctor that was talking to her, and I can remember my mom looking at my little sister in this incubator going, "Keep fighting, Chrissy. Keep fighting. Keep fighting, Chrissy." And I remember the doctor saying, "Norma Jean, Chrissy is not," mom was saying, "keep fighting to live." He said, "Norma Jean, I'm sorry, but your daughter's not fighting to live. She's fighting to go back to where she came from. It's we who are fighting for her to live. She's not interested in living. She wants to turn around and go back to a realm of light and oneness and unity." So my sister did not take her last breath until she was, I believe, she was close to 60. And every day of her life, she had to fight the doctor's fight. She had to fight what the doctors wanted for her, which was to stay alive. Inside of her, her confession to all of us was, "My biggest pull is to say I don't belong here. This world is not my home. I remember my home. It is a realm of oneness and light. Every little division, every argument, every thing, black people talking about white people, or straight people talking about gay people, or rich people talking about poor, it was so abrasive to my sister. She was so sensitive. This world is not my home." I acknowledge her for hanging in here for almost 60 years. Knowing from day one, hour one, that she wanted to go home. I bless her. How would she do that, having an internal desire to go home? How could she last for almost 60 years and her life was a manifestation of what she believed? She drew more abusers and users into her life than almost any woman I have ever met. One after another, after another, after another, after another. But she kept on breathing. She kept on walking even through the valley of the shadow. She kept on praising God. She kept on trusting in Jesus. She kept on extending compassion. She was the most loving, giving person. And I always prayed, I want something to be given to her. I want her to be healed completely. No more depression. No more anxiety. No more post-traumatic stress. No more bad guys. No more getting hit. No more getting tied up. No more getting treated like a dog. I wanted that for her. In the last couple of years, she had that. I called her up a few times. I said, Crystal, do you get upset ever about some of the people that you give so much to who seem unwilling to give anything back to you, like even to just show up at any of the events that you hold at the church? She said, Carlos, I used to, but not anymore. I've learned just to let people be who they are. I used to think that if people showed up at the church while I was speaking, that that meant they loved me. And now, you know what? It's only the love of God that I'm concerned with. Let people be who they are. She just got into a phase where nothing moved her. In retrospect, we can see that it was her soul having wrapped up its business of being in pain. Having wrapped up its business of wanting to go home. The suicidal thoughts were gone. The depression was gone. She was just alive for the first time. So even though she didn't get what I wanted her to get, she got something beyond what I wanted her to get. I wanted a manipulation of her physical circumstances. She got a rebirth. Someone said in the back, I'm wishing I could think of who said it to me. Someone in the back said to me, Carlos, you've been reborn. And I said, yes, I have. I've been born again without the dogma. Born again without the separation and segregation. Born again without any thought that I'm there and you're not. I've been born into a realization that we are. It was you. It was you. I've been born into the realization that truly, 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 we are one. And that truly, 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 as I told you the last time I was here, Billy Shakespeare was in fact right. All the world really is a stage. We really are actors and actresses presenting our part on this stage. When our part is done, we will take a bow or a curtsy, and we will exit the stage. And we will enter immediately into the realm of light and oneness, where we will have waves and waves of knowingness come upon us, of the great power that we have, and that we have an opportunity to unleash on the entire world. It is a power backed by zeal. It is a power demonstrated through compassion. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Because everything I could ever want, I already have. My relationship with the Creator started out as a fearship with God. I was just afraid of God. I didn't want the axe to drop. Then my fearship, through my own efforts, became a friendship. And then the friendship became a kinship. And then the kinship became a one-ship. I am at one with God, and so are you. For those of you who know it, I will know it with you. For those of you whose time for knowing it has not yet come, I will know it for you. God and you are one, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. There ain't no way to shake it. Who shall be able to separate you from the love of God? Experiences from early childhood, catastrophizing about the future, the breakup of your relationship, an unmet longing, the appearance of dis-ease, either mentally, emotionally, or physically. The scripture says none of these things will ever have the power to separate you from God's love. Because God knows of your oneness with itself. Nothing shall be able to separate me. As my brother Britt is experiencing his physical reality in these first stages, these first weeks of not having his mother physically here, he will discover what I have discovered. She's going to be around even more than she was when she could hook up with you on the phone or on the computer. She's not only going to be with you, she will reveal herself to be within you. Everything is within you. All power in heaven and in earth. You are the love you have been seeking. And that love, that connection, it really is inseparable. It's a joy and a pleasure to look out in this sanctuary, seeing so many apparently other than me people remembering you are anything but other than me. Zoe, try this shoe on for size. You are me. I am you. We are love. And love is simply inseparable. Thank you for your listening.
And as you take a breath, a deep healing breath, cleansing breath, and feeling the gratitude for the power within that breath, for feeling the gratitude of life itself as it moves through every cell of your being. The gratitude for the chair supporting you. The gratitude for this now moment. The gratitude for knowing at the very core of your being that you are one. I am one. The gratitude for remembering ourselves to source. That one power and one presence that lives us, that knows us, that loves us, that powers us, that is presence itself. What a blessing to know this truth. And if at any time, any moment, that knowing does not feel so, we call on the gift of being willing, of being willing to know, of being open and receptive to that knowing through us. And for harnessing our power, harnessing our faith, and knowing that we can be informed from the inside out, knowing that source is us, expressing us, at any moment, at any time, on any and every day. And when that feels too big, those shoes feel too big to occupy, through the power, the gift of the freedom of choice, we can choose a different thought, choose a new way of seeing, a new way of being. And dwelling on that new thought until the feeling becomes one of comfort. What amazing gift our mind is. And when there is no separation, when we know this, we know that we are existing in God's mind. That whatever is happening in this earthly world that looks other than good, that looks other than loving, that looks other than compassionate, that looks other than comfortable, feels other than. We can see it as an opportunity to grind in our heels and anchor ourselves in that deeper knowing that's within, that the truth is that God is and all is well. That the truth is that the power and presence that imagined each of us into being is good, and that no matter what I've done and where I've been and how I have been living, that my divine essence is good. And remember ourselves back to that good. Remember ourselves in wholeness, in strength, in power. And as we take a moment to move into the silence, we take in that thought of knowing, yes, I am one. No matter what, I am. I am. Take a breath and breathe in. I am whole. I am peace. I am love. I am joy. I am one. And for the truth of this knowing, and for knowing that God truly is, and that all is truly well, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.